This isn't the first time Deb Laufer has stopped by for an interview about a world premiere play at the Cincinnati Playhouse. She talked with me back in 2013 about Leveling Up, the very in-the-moment show about video gaming. Another of her plays, the award-winning End Days, was produced at Ensemble Theater back in 2011. This winter, she's offering up another world premiere. It's called Be Here Now, and it opens this week at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. It's good to have you back in Cincinnati.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, Rick.
So this play begins in a yoga session that's aimed at making people feel calm and focused. But the central character of your play, a woman named Barry, is anything but being calm and focused.
Yeah, she's an angry, sad, misanthropic nihilist. In fact, she teaches nihilism in New York City, but she can't teach anymore until she finishes her dissertation, which she is completely stuck. She can't do it.
And so, as an alternative, she's working in a fulfillment center in a little town in upstate New York.
Right. She had to go home to her parents' house and is desperately trying to get back to New York.
And so her co-workers are also characters in this play. And the first scene or two, we are seeing her interact or listen to them because they talk a lot.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah. It's like a tiny little town like the one I grew up in. And the fulfillment center is one of the only jobs in town. They're selling fake Himalayan Tibetan spiritual items that were made in China, and they're snipping off the tabs.
And Barry's sort of appalled about the whole thing.
She's appalled about everything.
Yes, that's true.
She's horrified that she's there. She looks down on pretty much everyone. And I love those two characters. They're just trying to make the day go by. They're full of life and trying to be happy and trying to be hopeful.
And they're gossiping and they're matchmaking. And in fact, right. Well, matchmaking kind of seems to be what's going on here. Barry isn't much into anything they talk about, but one of them has managed to set her up with, if not exactly a blind date, sort of a dinner with a cousin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody in the town is related. They're all cousins except for Barry. And so, yeah, they have a cousin who's going to be in town for 5 years for a mysterious reason that you find out in the play. And even though Patty says, he'll never forgive me, you're going out to dinner with Mike.
So Barry doesn't even really want to at least go and then say that this is a stupid thing to do, and she doesn't really want to do it. But she finds out that he's just about as quirky as she is in some very different ways. So where does that leave us with the story? I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, but yeah. So I guess ultimately through the course of the play, Barry finds out that she always assumed that everyone was uninteresting and had, you know, nothing of value for her.
In fact, I recall having read the script now that Patty says that Barry called their 5-year-old colleagues in kindergarten cretins. So yeah, she's been at it for a long time.
Yeah, she always felt she was better than everyone. And I guess during the course of the play, she realizes one of the things I write about frequently is that everybody is really playworthy. Everyone has a story that's worthy of stage time. And I think that's one of the things. I don't want to give too much away about this, but yeah, that's.
Well, Mike he's an interesting character. I mean, he's, let's say maybe, although you don't say this in your play, but he's sort of inspired by Thoreau. He's living in a cabin and doing some interesting things. And so where did your idea for this play come from? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the idea, I listen to podcasts endlessly, and I listened to this podcast about this woman who had Geschwind syndrome. And what it is if your temporal lobe is affected by either a tumor or epilepsy, there are people who have had these ecstatic religious experiences. And this woman was talking about how these seizures changed her life, that she started to see the whole world differently, and she was full of joy and hope. And then when she had it removed, she misses it. Like years and years later, she still thinks back and wonders if she should have had it removed. And I thought, wow, that's a story right there.
And so that's what you afflict Barry with here. And it has some very interesting outcomes that leads to the rest of the play. The play had previous titles. First of all, it was called Fulfillment Center, and that maybe that's sort of obvious because that's where they're working.
Yeah.
But I suspect that the issue of fulfillment, because Barry is certainly an unfulfilled character for at least the major portion of the show, What else were you thinking about in using that title?
Yeah, I mean, that's really at the heart of the play. And it's about how do you find happiness and all the different ways people go about trying desperately to be happy. And like, they're selling these fake Tibetan items. And they said, but the people who get them don't know that. It makes them happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is there a real happiness? Is there a real us?
And Barry is also distressed to discover that many of her colleagues are on medications to make them happy. And
exactly.
So there's another part of that, I guess.
Right. She says your happiness comes from a bottle.
The other title you had for it was Found Objects, which refers to some of the art that Mike is involved in doing. But I suspect that maybe Mike and Barry are sort of found objects themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both titles have several meanings. And I had to give up on Fulfillment Center, which is really the title I think I would have lived with ultimately, because another play called Fulfillment Center was just premiering this past year. And went to New York, so my agent said, I think it's time you change the title. Yeah.
So the title, Be Here Now, goes back to that yoga session at the beginning. And it's sort of about trying to be peaceful and centered, which, well, there are many different paths to get there, apparently. As a writer, it seems to me, having seen several of your shows, it seems to me you've got a special knack for crafting dialogue that feels perfectly natural and contemporary. How do you go about doing that? Is that just a matter of listening to people, or where does it come from?
Well, first of all, thank you. Well, I was an actor for 15 years before I became a playwright, so I was inside other people's dialogue for 15 years or longer. I always did plays. And I think that's part of where my playwriting comes from. And I just love listening. I really do listen to podcasts almost nonstop if I can. I love listening to the way people talk. Yeah, I love people's stories.
It comes through in your dialogue. You've also said in an interview that I read that you like it when people argue about one of your plays on the way home. I wonder if you might say something about what you think some of the disagreements that this work is going to bring forth as people are going home afterwards.
Yeah. I usually start my plays with a big question that then all the characters have to grapple with, whether they realize they're grappling with it or not. And I think the question at the heart of this play is, what is happiness? Is there a baseline me that I owe some debt to? A lot of people take antidepressants. And is there a baseline you that you're changing with that? Or is the road to happiness or contentment any way that you can get there, really?
Well, Be Here Now opens on the Cincinnati Playhouse's Shelter House stage on Thursday and continues through March 11th. For more information about the show, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with playwright Deborah Zoe Laufer. It's been great to have you here again, and welcome back to Cincinnati.
Thanks so much. I love talking to you again. Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.